Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joins us once again with Utah's best gardening. We're talking gardening, talking about the summer heat. Welcome to summer.
Gardening? I thought we were talking about bees today.
Let's talk about bees as well. You've got bees this year again.
I've got bees. I had a sabbatical when I moved to American Fork, where I'm at now. I had one set of bees that the varroa got to and another that I did not feed properly. And things have been so busy and stressful, I never got around to getting new bees. But I got a call from a neighbor, and he says, "Hey, Alex, you got to come over here. We got bees in our tree."
Nice.
And I go over there, and we're talking. They're like, "Well, you know, we knew you'd want to see this. Do you know who to talk to? We're not sure what to do because we got these bees hanging there." "Don't worry. I've already called somebody." And we get talking some more, and they're finally, "Well, who did you call?" "Me." "I'm going to go get my equipment and I'll take care of these bees for you." So I gathered a swarm and I need to go out and give them a good once over because I really haven't inspected them since I put them away. But the interesting thing is I'm not a huge long-term beekeeper. I've never actually bought bees. I've never bought bees.
They're not cheap.
Oh, good heavens. I don't know what they were up to this year. I was afraid to look. I know was the last year was around 150. I don't know this year, probably at least that much. And that's quite a bit of inflation since I've been really following beekeeping closely. And, of course, everything's inflated, right? So what's going to happen?
Are these Italian bees you have, or do you have carnelians? Or
they
you
know? Look a lot like carnelians. They're not really that brilliant yellow. They're kind of almost a dusty gray. Of course, we talk about these varieties like they're purebred, and they're not. Typically, there's going to be quite a bit of mixing, and you're going to go with kind of a majority characteristic. So mine could look like Carniolans, and they could actually act like Italians, for all I know.
So far, they haven't been too aggressive or anything.
I haven't had any aggressiveness. That's one of the things that I will put a colony down for is if I get an aggressive colony, I don't have patience for that. And, of course, people say it's defensive, but, dude, no, I have seen some very aggressive bees. I guess their genetics may say they're being defensive, It's like a wasp's nest. If you're leaving the wasp's nest alone and trying to keep away from it, and they decide to get mad at you anyway, well, it's kind of hard to see it as being a defensive behavior. And you do get bees like that.
On the other hand, very positive. You got a lot of plants in there that they should be really happy with.
Yeah, last year I put in some Nepeta, some catmint, and the neighborhood bees, I'm sure this colony was from somebody that was close by in the neighborhood. There's a couple of beekeepers within a quarter mile of my place. So last year they worked that pretty hard on my Nepeta, and my bees are working it pretty hard now. And that one's a really nice one because it's got such a long bloom period. And it's just an absolute favorite with the bees. And because it's in the mint family and one of the sweeter mints, I imagine the honey's going to be really, really good. Not that I can eat much of it because I'm pre-diabetic and probably will be diabetic in the next couple of years. So I've got to be very, very cautious. But it should make for some really good honey, and those plants are full. But it's one of the best bee plants I've ever seen.
Catmint is the top one, then. Any other top favorites in your listings there?
I do like to keep a variety. Now, your ornamental sage, your May night or April night or any of those like that are going to be very good. You will get repeated blooms through the season. You should be able to get one or two repeat blooms fairly easy. So you should have two or three blooms total through the season. Some may even do more than that, depending on exactly how our weather is. But yeah, that one's a really good one. Russian sage is a, pardon the pun, a perennial favorite. But I also like to mix it up because all those are in the mint family. And while they are good, and while I would say plant a lot of those, I'm also going to want some old-fashioned lawn weed Dutch white clover. The quality that the clover has is it's got an excellent protein source in the pollen. And it's got a fair amount of nectar, so your bees are going to be covering that stuff pretty well if it's in bloom. But again, because of the health benefits to the bees and just better nutrition, I always like to have some clover. And that's one thing that I, as I'm redoing my landscape slowly year after year, I'm going to put a good base of clover down under a lot of my other perennials to give that feed to the bees.
I know this time of year there's plenty of flowers blooming. Linden trees will be in bloom pretty quick here, and they've got plenty to enjoy. But later on in the season, that's when it gets a little trickier, and that's what I've noticed is when the bees tend to get a little more protective when you come to work the hives.
That is a fairly regular thing that people notice. As bees get a little bit more protective, sometimes just a little bit hostile. They look at me like I'm a big bear coming after their babies and their honey, which is, I guess, true enough. But yeah, they've got a lot more to protect later in the season. And I like that you bring up the late season feed because I don't worry too much about it in the spring. I'll have stuff in spring blooming, so of course I want it to be bee-friendly. But when they really need it is when all the fruit trees are done blooming and all the other ornamental trees we have are done blooming, the buckeyes, and starting with about the lindens, that's when things are starting to look like they're going to get a little bit scarce. And then go into August, and August can be really tough for feeding bees. So for that purpose, in that late July, August, into September, there are certain plants I like to have a fair amount of. I'm finding out that the Nepeta is great for that. It blooms almost all season. But I also like my Blue Fortune Augustaki. Dark Knight is Caryopteris, which is also good. I like Russian Sage, a very good late season bloomer. I like Echinacea. Bees aren't going to hit that as heavily. But again, we want to have a variety of different plants and a variety of different plant families so that those bees have better nutrition. There's one that I need to try, and I just haven't gotten my seeds planted yet. That's called Sanfoin, and it is an alfalfa substitute. And as near as I can tell, it's actually better for the bees than alfalfa. Alfalfa's got a lot of nectar in it, but the pollen in it's just crap. The bees really can't use it. So putting your hives out in the middle of an alfalfa field is a very dangerous thing to do if you leave them there. And there's a couple things that happen, lack of nutrition, and then the bees figure out how to not get hit by the plant, because the way the alfalfa plant is made is it bonks things on the head so it can spread the pollen, and bumblebees don't care. Honeybees hate it. So they'll chew through the flower to get to the nectar, and they'll bypass the pollen altogether. So if you put your bees out in the middle of 2 miles worth of alfalfa, your bees are not going to be happy, and they're going to be scrounging for food. Sainfoin, on the other hand, got a decent pollen, decent protein content. It doesn't bonk them on the head, and it's supposed to produce really, really good honey, a mild honey, like alfalfa or your Dutch clover would. But it's definitely one, and it's got a really fascinating flower to it that you're not going to really see anywhere else in a garden. So as an ornamental, it's kind of cool, and I just need to get mine in. I've had seed for years. I just haven't done it.
Water is a key thing, too. I know that they do like to have a source of water close by, and you want to make sure it's easy they can get in and out without drowning.
Yeah, I've got a bucket full of rocks, and I fill it on occasion. Of course, where do my bees go? To my neighbor's leaking sprinkler.
There you go.
I had everything set up. Everything was good before this neighbor even moved in. And no, they want to go to the neighbor's sprinkler. Okay, ladies. What we need to work on discipline. 100 push-ups for every trip you make to the wrong watering spot.
They don't like your water for some reason.
Same water. It's all coming out of the secondary system, so whatever. That's bees for you. You do what you need to. You provide water for them. And the law does require that in Utah, that you provide water for them. Make sure it's full. Make sure it's taken care of. Make sure you're obeying not just the laws, but making sure your bees have what they need. And they'll go somewhere else for it. But you just make sure you have it for them anyway, because if somebody else falls through, you're responsible still.
It's nice that you got some bees again. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I need to take some time this weekend and just spend some good quality time getting out there and watching them do their thing and crack open that hive for a bit, see how crooked they're making the comb, because I know they're doing it crooked. I've not got a foundation in there yet. Foundationless beekeeping is a pain in the butt, guys. It can really be fun, and there's some certain benefits, but no, it's not an easy thing, guys, just so you know.
For a little while, there should be some swarms still for other folks out there if they're interested in this.
Yeah, we've had a couple swarms that I've seen noted in the last couple of weeks. I would say there's a chance you can get some till the end of June. Of course, the key in getting swarms is having people know that you're looking for them and knowing what you can handle. There's a lot of people that want you to come cut bees out of their building. Now, I don't do that. I'm not a contractor. I don't have insurance. I don't go there. I mean, even if it's something I can handle, theoretically, there's things I don't want to do. But the best thing to do is if you can get them right after they've swarmed, when they haven't decided on a permanent location yet, that's the best time to do it. And it's really easy if you provide them a box to convince them that it's worth staying in that box rather than going somewhere else. And that's a struggle that a lot of people have is if you're going to capture swarms, you've got to have stuff ready to go. I had my stuff semi-ready to go because I really wasn't planning on getting anything this year. It's just, you know, I was thinking next year I'll buckle down and actually buy some, and it'll be horrible, but I'll do it. And when Providence comes along, you don't just ignore it. If you can handle it, you don't. So I had things in good enough condition that I could just run with it. And I think that's one of the great things about all the study I did into beekeeping before I bought any equipment or anything else is I had that culture of being prepared. And so when I have the fortune of things just literally falling into my lap, I can run with it because I've prepared myself beforehand. My first beehive, actually, I won it in the contest. And if I hadn't done my research and my study on bees, if I hadn't learned about them beforehand, I wouldn't have gotten my first beehive, and it would have taken me a couple more years to actually get something together. So it's kind of funny. We talk about preparedness a lot, but sometimes we don't understand just what it involves. And it involves a lot of mental readiness and preparedness. But one thing that's really difficult for me is when people, oh, it's July and I want to get bees. Okay, have you read any books? No. Looks like you're new on this Facebook group. Have you ever been on another beekeeper? No, but I want bees and I need to get them now. This is regular. Every year we see X number of people doing it. I've never taken count, but it's like between about February and about now, people just decide they want bees. And they've probably been thinking about it for a while, but you don't know who carries them. You don't know what season they're available. You don't know there is a season that they're available. You don't know how to run your bee box. You don't know how to get the bees in it. I went to one client's place, and they had gotten bees, and they got their first box, and they were doing okay with that. And then they put the second box on top, and nobody had really taught them to do inspections. And then they opened it up, and they have all this wild comb going everywhere because they have zero frames in there. So the bees just build. Bees can build just fine without our help. But they don't know how to get the honey out. They don't know what's honey. They don't know what's brood. They can't do an inspection to save their lives. And these are nice people, and they were well-intentioned. One book would have solved most of those problems. Just reading one poorly written book from the library. You can get a beekeeping book for, I don't know these days, but I think I got my first one for like $4 or $5. I'm sure you can still get one for $10. It's probably written by somebody that's never had bees. He just cheated off of somebody else. But that's better than nothing. And the first bee book I bought was that, and I realized it later. But the thing is they got me far enough along that I could go to the next step. And really, you need to be able to do that if you're going to keep bees. You can't just decide. Well, I mean, you can. It's legal. Some people do okay with it doing that. But, gee, I mean, do you expect to win a World Series if you've never played baseball before?
True. There's a lot of failures out there, no question about it.
I've had failures. I'm sure you've had failures. We learn from those failures and we move on. But why have more failures than you have to?
Exactly. Utah County Beekeepers Association, we've been involved with them over the years. They've been really good to work with. And just follow them throughout the year. You don't need to have bees to be part of the association. They have monthly meetings, and you can join and learn from them. They have auctions. At the end of the season, they have fundraiser auctions where you can get some really good deals. They have, over the years, done scholarships for youth to get into beekeeping. Both of my kids both had an opportunity to do that. It was a great thing for them. That's how we got into the beekeeping. And you had all the knowledge. We were ready to go. We knew what to do. Sterling was ready to rumble when he got the bees, and it was neat. And as far as swarms, I know we've picked up small swarms up until about the 4th of July. So I know that they'll be around for a little bit. We're getting close to the end of it now, but there's still some possibilities if you got your eyes open and have somebody else looking for you too.
Who knows? I mean, with the weather we've had, with the chaotic weather, who knows? Bees could have a little slightly longer swarm season because they probably don't even know what time of the year it is. I certainly don't from the weather we've had. Horrible.
It's a lot of fun. I've noticed it's been very therapeutic. If it's a stressful day, a lot of work on my plate, just take a small break, check out the bees. It's so calming to watch them do their work. It's one of those things you don't need to tell them what to do. They know what they're doing. It's just fun to watch them. It's a very therapeutic, very relaxing thing to do.
It's a lot of fun. First hive was a mini hive. I'm not using that this year. I decided to go with a full-size one. But when these hives are smaller, when the colonies are smaller like mine is right now, it's kind of cool because you get to see more because there's less going on. When you've got a full hive that's got three boxes on it and it's just jam-packed with bees, it's a madhouse. You can't track everything. You can't even come close to tracking one thing. You hope you get in there, you check for eggs. You're probably not going to see the queen. So things are happening, but you don't get to see it. When you have a small hive, you can pop in there. And the first colony I got that actually didn't just die almost instantly, my first one was gone within 2 weeks. I had wasps and ants attacking it. I just couldn't keep it together. But the first one that I really managed to keep and really managed to work, I got in there, and first couple of weeks, I actually heard my queen piping. So we'd created a new queen, and I got to hear her piping, which is kind of her challenge to any other queens in the box. Here I am. Let's rumble. And most new beekeepers don't hear that. I know veteran beekeepers who haven't heard that piping. But because I had a small colony that I was willing to build up slowly, I got to hear that. I got to see the queen. I got to do a lot of things. And so really, these new colonies that are smaller are really just a joy because of that. And those are actually bees I got from my friend Loretta. She was having some work done, and I begged a frame of bees off of her. So we actually cut out a piece, put it in my mini hive, because she was working with a regular size hive. And we just got some eggs, we got some brood, and we got some worker bees, and I was off and running. That was a joy. I mean, being able to propagate your own bees or to work with a friend in propagating them and getting them to create new queens is really a lot of fun, because you just follow some simple rules and then the bees do the rest. And if you have a situation, I mean, not every bee colony can be divided successfully. But when you do have the situation where you have that going on, it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. If folks are out there listening and they are interested in getting bees, get involved. There's some great videos on YouTube. Like you said, there's some great books. There's organizations you can be part of. It really helped us out. Instead of sitting down and reading a book or something, we actually got the most out of those meetings. Take some notes. A lot of other people ask questions you wouldn't even thought of. And over the course of that year, you kind of know the year of how to take care of those bees. And very empowering.
I didn't get involved with the bee clubs until later, and then I wasn't always heavily involved. But then again, I'm very much the bookish, nerdy type. I mean, I've got the Coke bottle glasses and everything going on. And so for me, the reading did a lot. But even that, what I consider as my real education in beekeeping was actually the beekeeping groups on Facebook. Because just about every question gets asked there. And so I read all my books, and then my next step was going there and following along and seeing what people learned and what happened and what the old-timers' advice was and all this stuff. And, of course, this is an extension of the bee clubs, ultimately. Most bee clubs have a Facebook presence, and so the clubs are the origin of that. Sometimes it just doesn't work for everybody, especially if you've got a difficult schedule, but you can get on the Facebook groups, and I don't think it's as good, but you can still get a good experience from those and knowing really what's going on here in Utah. Because what you read in the books is kind of a national conglomeration of everything, but it's not always Utah-centric, and there are things that happen in Utah that are different because we're a different climate and a different environment.
Even though it is the beehive state, it's a challenging state for bees. It's very dry. With the lack of flowers a good part of the season, it is tricky, and it is a tough place sometimes for bees to thrive and survive.
Yeah, and that is one of the advantages of being an urban/suburban beekeeper. People do like having flowers in the yards, and that does help an awfully lot. Just the fact that the neighbors have flowers, there's going to be something my bees like there somewhere.
choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Hi, this is James Ray with Be Ready Utah, and I'd like to talk to you about emotional and mental health resilience. Mental and emotional resilience is applicable to individuals at home or at work. Safeguarding mental health has grown to become a key consideration for business continuity. I want to share 5 strategies that you can use at home with your family or at work with your coworkers, but I will approach this from a workplace perspective. Strategy 1 is to take steps to check in individually with every employee. It's important to treat everyone as an individual. Different people will be responding to the stress in different ways, and it will potentially cause a range of mental health issues for many people. The first step towards recognizing these comes with actively checking in with employees in a one-to-one situation, as this can allow businesses to form a greater understanding of how they're coping through this particularly difficult period. Strategy 2. Make sure people have and are aware of secure routes for reporting their mental health issues. Strategies which look to engage with employees and directly ask them about how they're doing should be accompanied by more subtle routes for people to gain help. Often, people may feel intimidated to discuss their mental health with the colleagues and manager they work with on a day-to-day basis, as they may have anxiety about the way they're perceived. To counter this issue, it's important that employees can discuss their mental health issues with people within a business away from their direct teams, preferably an HR manager or someone with mental wellness training. Removing the stigma to discuss mental health issues is an important part of creating a culture of health within an organization. And getting leaders to walk the talk is definitely key. Strategy 3, allow and encourage employees to take breaks. To be at our most productive, it is important to take regular breaks within the workday. One useful and easy to implement technique is the Pomodoro technique. This involves using a timer to break down work into intervals, separated by short breaks. The steps of this technique are as follows. Decide on the task to be done and set a timer, usually to 25 minutes, and work on the task. When the timer rings, put a check mark on a piece of paper and take a break. If you have fewer than 4 check marks, take a short break of 3 to 5 minutes and then reset the timer. After 4 check marks, take a longer break of 15 to 30 minutes. Then start the technique again, resetting your check mark count to 0. This has been proven to help improve concentration and avoid procrastination, as well as providing a sense of achievement as tasks are completed. Strategy 4. Consider the information employees are receiving. And if this applies to your family, consider the information your family members are receiving. People are bombarded in their daily technology-filled lives with more and more information, as it's hard to get away from it. Some of the information around the pandemic or other disasters is poor quality, factually inaccurate, feeding feelings of mass hysteria and paranoia. Both a lack of information and poor quality information has been shown to increase irrational thinking. Checking in with employees on a personal level to make sure they are receiving information from legitimate sources is an important task for employers. But it can help employees form an understanding of the situation in the world, which counters many of the negative conspiratorial narratives we've seen come about as a result of the pandemic. Strategy 5, this is the last one, provide employees with the tools to help them, understanding the level of personal responsibility, which must be encouraged. Ultimately, businesses need to be focused on creating the conditions in which an individual employee is able to take responsibility for their mental well-being, finding the particular strategies which work for them. This links fundamentally to the workplace culture businesses cultivate. a culture which promotes self-care and provides the tools for this can be invaluable for employees. If people feel like they have the option of going for a lunchtime walk to a local park, getting some much-needed fresh air and exercise, then they are far more likely to do so. But the decision to go ahead with this still rests with them. With many employees working from home, encouraging personal responsibility regarding mental wellness becomes an even more important task, as organizations in the current setup simply have a lot less direct oversight on employees. Those are the five strategies for helping build mental and emotional resilience within your workforce or others around you. This has been James Ray with Be Ready Utah. For more information, go to our website at BeReadyUtah.gov.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Lindsay Higbee joins us once again around the campfire with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thanks for having me back. It's so good to be here with you.
Let's talk about state park passes. Those are another opportunity that gets you to the gates quick and easy, and it's just nice to flash that and they let you right through.
And it's cool because we now have a digital day use pass. So if you don't have an annual pass, you can actually buy these digital passes on our website, and you just have to show your phone when you come through. And some of the parks are going to eventually get to the point where you're maybe not even going to have to stop. You'll be able to just drive right through because you've got your day use pass. And it's going to make those lines a lot shorter, really improve things. So that's through parkspass.utah.gov if you want to buy a digital day use to any of the parks. And then we have the annual day use pass, which you can get at any of the state parks or region offices, or we've even got them in the bookstore downtown. And yeah, those are awesome because you can get into any of the parks. You don't have to worry about getting on and buying a day use pass in advance. So if you want to give them as holiday gifts of some kind, you'll have way more opportunity this year to do that.
The digital passes, obviously you flash your phone when you go through the gate.
You're good to go once you've got those.
Again, where do they get their passes?
So if you want a digital day use pass, you can actually just go straight to parkspass.utah.gov, or you can get them through the website stateparks.utah.gov as well. But then the annual passes are the regular website, stateparks.utah.gov. It's probably easier to go to that one for everything, but if you want to just get a special day use pass and you don't want to go to our regular website for some reason, that Parks Pass site will get you there.
That website is truly the trailhead for all these adventures, all these opportunities, and you spend a little time on there. There's amazing how much work has been placed into this and how many different directions you can go. Where your adventure gets started is right there at that website.
Absolutely, yeah. You can plan things on there, too. It'll show you a list of activities. If you click on that, it'll show you where there's good boating and camping and fishing, where there's golf, where the dark sky parks are, what museums can we go to, where's the good mountain biking. It's all on there.
Anything else you want to share with folks out there?
Make sure you check the boat ramp conditions and fire restrictions before you go out so you're not disappointed. That's my big summer tidbit. Please do that. Be safe and have fun, because that's what it's all about. Just go have fun. It's summer. This is the time to relax and take a break. Life has been so crazy for all of us. And just remember, be kind and have fun and enjoy these beautiful outdoors we have.
I like the way you said that, because as we get into the end of summer, you know, a lot of people seem to be really short on tempers, and we're all out there to have a fun experience and be courteous to others, clean up after yourself, try to make that experience as the way you would like to have that experience for yourself.
That's right.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
This is Nick Lusky with Utah State University Extension Integrated Pest Management Program. Let's talk about squash bugs. Squash bugs have a lot of hosts, like winter squash, summer squash, and melon. Basically, anything in the cucurbitate family. Now, squash bug adults are flat and brown to a gray color, and they have these orange and brown bands along the margins of their abdomen. The eggs are shiny bronze to red color, and you can find those on the undersides of the leaves. Nymphs develop through several different instars, and they'll start off as a bright green, but they'll eventually turn to gray and brown and start to resemble the adult as they mature. Now, adults and nymphs, they feed with these piercing, sucking, straw-like mouthparts that will suck out the xylem and phloem from our squash plant, which causes them to wilt. Squash bugs have one generation per year here in Utah, but there could be a potential partial second generation in southern Utah. They overwinter as adults in protected sites along the buildings and underneath plant debris or compost piles. They are more of a concern when our squash plants start to develop runners through the harvest. Monitor for squash bugs in the spring when the adults are under the plant debris, perennial plants, or near buildings. Look daily for eggs underneath the leaves, and then consider planting late in the spring or early summer. Watch for that plant wilt, and then remember that the adults and nymphs like to congregate on the lower parts of the plant. Squash bugs are common in cucurbitates, especially our pumpkins and squash, and they'll occur every year. And they can be difficult to control when the populations are allowed to build. To manage, consider rotating crops annually with a non-cucurbit crop. Remove or till plant debris at the end of the season to keep fields free of trash or wood. Place wooden boards between the susceptible plants and then lift them up each morning to destroy the aggregated adults and existing eggs. Again, when you're scouting, look for those eggs and remove them with duct tape. Consider covering your young squash plants with a row cover to physically exclude the squash bugs. But remember to eventually remove that row cover to allow for pollination. If populations become really bad, consider using insecticides with active ingredients like pyrethrins, zetacyphetherins, and permethrins. Remember, there are some look-alike insects like the brown marmorated stink bug, other brown stink bugs, kissing bugs, and the leaf-footed bugs. If you want to learn more about squash bugs and other pests, be sure to visit our website, extension.usu.edu/pests.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't gonna catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you, that's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
The song of the mountains is calling to me.
folks. You've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.